everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? I have the large print version of all the announcements today that I will be announcing. So thank you so much for doing that, because I do wear glasses and I cannot read. And I can read it if it's way out here. All right, let's get started into those. God's Not Dead Part 1 today in the youth room at 3 o'clock, okay? Then next week, Sunday, is the April 10th movie, God's Not Dead Number 2. Cheryl will post the movie times as soon as she knows after Tuesday. So if you have a question about that, see her. The Easter egg hunt recap was that there was 216 registered kids. 109 of them were non-church members, and 51 verses from the Bible were said from the memory, which is awesome. And a special thanks to Krista Asher and Christine Landis for doing that. If you're going to be part of our softball season this year, beginning soon, there will be a short meeting this afternoon, immediately after service, with Pete Pollard in the front of the church, down in here. Vacation Bible School is coming up, July 11th through the 14th, 6 to 8. Help us reach over 100 kids. See Brook Camp if you have any questions. Our Revelation series starts with our small groups beginning the 17th. There's a Christian music event of the summer that you'll want to catch up on, and all the pertinent information is in the bulletin. Church camping trip is coming up soon. Make your reservations online. You can see that in the bulletin. Volunteers are needed for mowing. Our world mission boxes are out there again to fill up the boxes at the Welcome Center. Adult singles 18 and older, lunch on the first Sunday of each month following Sunday morning worship service, and the youth group will not be meeting tonight or next Sunday night. No Awana Wednesday, April 6th. Awana will resume again on April 13th. Bible study and choir will meet as scheduled. That's a lot of announcements, but guys, listen. It costs a lot of money to print these bulletins off for your advantage. Take it home. Look it over. Read it. Study it. If you don't have anything to do one morning, just go through it in the morning and pray for those ministries, those people that are involved in the ministries that are before them. We want it to be a successful time. We want to be an active church. We want to be a church that's out there trying to bring in new people. Okay, that's the whole purpose of us. It's not a social event. It's an event that brings in the lost, so they can hear the gospel, so they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ, so they can ask Jesus into their heart and have happiness and joy like you and I share. Now, before we are going to meet and greet, I would like to pray. So if you want to stand up with me, we'll pray, then we'll do our meet and greet, and then I'll settle it down and we'll get started on the next part. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us today. Father, you've given traveling grace to all those church members that aren't here this morning, that are traveling with their families, that have made it to their destinations as far as we know. Father, we just know that your blessing is upon them and upon us. Your spirit is here with us, and we're ready to worship you, Father. Thank you for being such an awesome God. Thank you for showing the word to being applied to our lives, that we can ask Jesus into our heart and be forgiven of our sins and know you forever to live in our life. Father, thank you for preparing a way for me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go to your neighbor, go to your friends, go to someone sitting next to you, meet and greet. Paul, what did I forget? Oh, choir, you can be dismissed. I have such power.
I took care of that.
Are you going to stop this?
Yes.
You're in charge, Paul.
What other than Satan is stopping you?
My mom. Satan.
All right, if we could find our way back to our seats and be seated, please. Be seated. Because I'm missing my backup vocalist. Yeah, come on up. All right, one quick thing we forgot. Are there any first-time visitors here today? Nobody's got it, hadn't gotten the visitor packet from us yet? All right, so no first-time visitors. All right, join us as we sing, please.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, no troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear?
My side this morning, we wouldn't be doing as good because I'm normally over there. So I had to learn the song this morning. So let's stand as we sing Mighty to Save, please.
Mm-hmm. never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything you believe in. The glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing glory, glory to the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
And because He conquered the grave, He's our Messiah. Jesus, Messiah.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so we
Children can be dismissed at Children's Church. Thank you, Mrs. Penning, for that wonderful song. It's hard to follow something like that. That was pretty awesome. For those of you that haven't noticed, Pastor's on vacation. He didn't just shave his head, grow 6 inches, and get better looking. He is down in Florida with his family, and he's asked me to preach today and asked me to give God's word. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Nate Penning, and I work in the youth department. I work with teens, usually teens. So this is kind of new for me to be able to stand up here with a bunch of adults. But I can still look at you as teens because I know a lot of you act like teens. This morning, we're going to be looking at gaining the edge. As you see in your bulletin, you'll see a quick little, I don't know what you want, trivia, how well you know David and Goliath. But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we get going on gaining the edge and what the Bible says about gaining the edge, I just want to go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be here today, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for you giving us your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, I just come to you and just pray that you give me the wisdom and the courage to speak your word, your truth, Lord. Lord, I just pray this in your name. Amen. Throughout the history of sports and even war, we've always wanted to gain the edge. We always are doing something in gaining the edge on our opponent. In sports, we look at sending scouts out to other teams to see what the other team's new plays are, or who's on fire that week, or how to size up players. In war, we'd look at our enemies and we look at and say, what kind of guns are they using? We need bigger guns. We need more tanks. We use technology. We use stealth. We always do something to try to gain the edge on our opponent. Well, this morning we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look how David gained the edge and how we can use the Bible to gain the edge in our enemy. And that enemy for us is the devil, is Satan. So if you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to go over 4 points and how we can gain the edge and use those 4 points in our lives. And point number one is we need to know who we're up against. We need to know who we're up against. And in verse 4 of chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, we're going to see who David was up against. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and that weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that ye may fight together. So here we see, we have this picture of Goliath. We see in verse 4 that Goliath is a very tall man, a very big man. I'm 6'4" on a good day when I'm wearing shoes. But Goliath is almost nearly 10 foot tall, so he's over 3 foot taller than me. And I'm the average height of a man, not really. But Goliath is just this huge, ginormous man. We see in verse 7, that he's got to be a really big, strong man. He's wearing a coat that weighs just about approximately 125 pounds. So we know that he's a very strong, strong man. We know that in verse 4, he's a champion. It says that he's a champion of a soldier. So we know that he's won many fights. But we also see that he's arrogant. We know that he's arrogant because he's changing the way they do battle. Instead of everybody battling together, he's going out and he's saying, uh-uh, I'm going to challenge you one-on-one. You pick somebody that can fight me. That's what he wants. He's changing the rules of war. And we see in verse 10 that he defies Israel. When he defies Israel, he defies God. That's who David's up against. This great big giant of a man, this champion. What are we up against? As we sit here today, what are we up against? Ephesians 6:11 says this, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What is the wiles? The wiles is the Greek word for schemes, carrying the idea of cleverness, crafty methods, cunning deception. Satan does this through the world, which he rules with immoral practice, his false theology, his false religion, and worldly enticement. That is what we're up against. He doesn't care if you're a non-believer. He doesn't care if you're a believer. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. He throws things at us that we might think looks good because we're still human. As a believer, we're still made of flesh. We are still going to give in to temptations, and the devil knows that because why? He's a schemer. See, he throws giants in front of us. As David was going to be facing this giant called Goliath, we face giants today. It might not be Goliath in person, but we all face different types of giants. Some of us might be facing a giant of drunkenness, drugs. I work at Van Buren County Jail, and I see where giants overtake people all the time. I see where they just come in and come in and repeatedly come in over and over and over. And I keep telling them that they'll never be able to overcome those giants unless they trust the Lord. But here we have the devil, that's who we're up against, and we see that he's a schemer. He's a deceiver. One of the things I look at is, I see on TV, which I don't really watch a whole lot of TV, but I see commercials on the Bud Light commercials or whatever, alcohol commercials, and they always have men that are very fit and women that are very beautiful. And I can tell you, when it comes to people that drink a lot and drunkenness, I see the other side of it. I see people faced with that giant and they fall with that giant. They drink way too much. I can tell you the people that I see, they're not in swimsuits and six-pack abs and bikini bottles. But that's just a giant that they face. I'm not saying that everybody's faced with that giant. But we're all faced with different types of schemes. We're all faced with different types of deceptions that the devil puts in front of us. What brings me to my point number two. We need to prepare ourselves in training our faith. We see in verse 32 how David prepared himself. And David said unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. The servant will go and fight with the Philistine." Here's David saying, I will go, I will fight. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "The servant kept his father's sheep, And there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb, a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You see, we see that David was training already. He was training in his faith. We see that verse 34 and 35, that David faced a lion and he faced a bear. And through his faith in the Lord, he was able to kill the lion and kill the bear. Through his trust that the Lord was going to take care of him, because here we see that David's just a boy. He's a man in his youth. And he's going up against the lion. I'm not a man in my youth anymore, and I can tell you, I probably won't go up against a lion. Maybe a bear. No, I won't even go up against a bear. And here's David going up against a lion and a bear because why? Because he's got faith. Because he's got trust that the Lord is going to take care of him. Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that ye prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing our mind, that's how we train ourselves. We need to renew our mind. How do we renew our mind? By allowing the Holy Spirit to change the way we think through studying Scripture, through studying God's Word. That's how we renew our mind. We come to church to renew our mind. We come here, we listen to pastors speak, and we get encouraged each week. We come here because we have other fellow believers that can encourage us for the week so that when we do face our giants, because we all face them, even me, even though I'm somewhat of a giant, I still get faced with giants that the devil throws in front of me. Am I preparing myself to do what's right? Are you preparing yourselves? Are you guys training? Am I training in my faith? Am I reading God's word? Am I listening to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? We see that David was preparing. David was in training already. Proverbs 3:5. I've grown very fond of this verse over the last few months. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. That's what he wants. He wants us to trust him with all our heart. Because if we don't trust him, and we go to that next part of the verse, lean not unto our own understanding. When we start leaning on our own understanding of what we're supposed to do, guess what? That's when we fall. That's when we get defeated by our giant. Because we think we can overcome it ourselves. But God's saying, no, trust in me. David trusted in the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord. Which brings me to my point number 3. And I'm moving right along. We need to have courage to stand for what is right. We need to have courage to stand for what is right. Verse 40, we're going to see how David had courage. Verse 40 through 48. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I smite thee, and I take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Excuse me. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saith not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and I will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. We see that David had courage. Not only, we see this in several ways. We see that because he's a youth. I look at my son, my youngest, Silas, who is a boy in his youth. And I just picture him standing there running towards this giant of a man. I picture myself as a youth standing there, and I look over and I see this guy that's approximately 10 foot tall. I ain't running towards him. Like I said, I won't even run towards a lion. I run the other way. But here's David, somebody in his youth. Verse 42, it says he's in his youth, and we see that in verse 48, that he didn't run from the giant. After he picked up those stones, it says he ran towards the army of the Philistine. This is a man that was brave. This is a man that trusts that the Lord is on his side. This is a man that has courage to stand up for what is right. Are we standing up for what is right today? Am I standing up for what is right today? Like I said, I work in a jail, and I work with a lot of coworkers. And when you work with several other people, and so when several other people are unbelievers, a lot of bad things come your way, and I'm faced. Am I going to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says that Paul says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us have the courage to be steadfast, unmovable in our faith. Let's not give in to the temptations of the world. Let's stand strong for what we know, what the Bible says. We know that the truth of the Bible. Let's not give in to what the world says. Like I said, I work with the teens, and that's something that I stress with the teens, because they're just in the start of their life of getting ready to be out of the teenage years and getting into what's called the world years, where they have to go to college. And they're going to be faced with so many different things. A lot of teens are faced with culture shock. A lot of teens are faced with going into the real world, getting a job, and not knowing what to do after they get a job, and they start meeting people that are outside of church. And it becomes a big eye-opener for them. So I stress with the teens that they stand fast. I'm trying to work with the teens and showing them that through Jesus, Through your faith, you can steadfast. You'll be unmovable. David, he was unmovable. He didn't care how big this giant was. He didn't care that there was another bunch of Philistines behind him. He was going to have he had the courage to stand up for what is right. He was going to face that giant. And that brings me to my last point. Point number four. Once we recognize the giant, like David recognized Goliath, once we train ourselves in our faith, once we have the courage to stand up for what we believe in, for what we know is right, we have point number four, and that is we have victory. We have victory. David had victory over Goliath. In verses 49 through 51, it says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in his hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." David had victory over Goliath. This boy in his youth, who probably wasn't very big, had victory over this giant. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. We see that he knocked Goliath down with a stone, and I find that ironic when I read that, when I was reading this, and it just clicked in my head, because I'm a little slow at times. But I see that David used a stone. What's referred to a rock? God. God's a rock. David flung that stone and hit the Goliath square in the middle of the head with a stone. And so often God is referred to the rock, and through with the rock of our foundation, we can stand victorious. We see that in verse 51, not only did David use that rock, he went up there and used Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. David had victory over Goliath because he knew what he was up against. David had victory because he trained, he prepared in his faith. He had the courage to stand up for what it was right. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says this. Pretty sure it says this. I might have did a typo in my... I might be paraphrasing. We have victory through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Christ... I think I paraphrased that verse. As Thad says, Thaddeus' version. This is my version. It's the right place. Okay. We have victory through Jesus Christ. Not only do we have that victory through Jesus Christ because he died on the cross for our sins, he shed his blood, he was buried, he rose again. That's our victory. We have eternal life through that victory. But we also have victory that he's there always. And so often, I go back to that verse, Proverbs 5, we start leaning onto our own understanding and we forget that he's here. He's here. He's never going to leave us. David knew that God was by his side always. As believers, we have that victory, that God is by our side always. So when the devil throws out those schemes, those deceptions, all we have to do is go to him. And he will direct our paths. Verse 6 of Proverbs 3. Verse 6 says, he will direct our paths if we allow him to. As believers, we are constantly under attack. Constantly. The devil knows he's lost. He knows that he no longer has us. That he knows that we have our eternal life in heaven. But he still wants us to pull away from the Lord. He still wants to make fools of God. And he uses us. Are we going to give in to that giant? Are we going to fall? I can stand up here and say that I've fallen several times. I get faced with a giant and I think I can overcome it because I'm a big guy. I'm a man full of pride. Just last week, Good Friday service, we wrote a bunch of things up here on the wall that we struggle with in our lives. Are we giving that to the Lord? David, we read on through David's life, and we see that he's had a lot of up and downs as well. And throughout his up and downs, he has always come back to the Lord. David knew that it was the Lord. Through anything, he can conquer. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus will never leave us. He fights beside our side. He fights by our side. In closing, we looked at David and we saw how David was just a youth. We saw that he was faced with an obstacle. He was faced with a giant that defied God. And he didn't care that he was a youth. Why? Because the devil doesn't just attack the youth. He doesn't just attack me. He attacks everyone that's in this room. All God wants us to do is stand up for what is right. He wants us to stand up. He wants us to have the courage. He wants us to overtake those giants that the devil puts in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your Son that you sent on this earth to die on the cross for our sins, to shed his blood for us, to be buried. But Lord, we have something more, Lord. We have the resurrection. Lord, we know that the Lord is with us if we accept him, Lord. We know that we can fight battle after battle with the devil. And we will be victorious when we let you lead our way. Lord, again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to speak your word, Lord. I just pray this in your name. Amen.
Ashamed of what I've done. What been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside, I doubt that you could love me. But in your eyes, there's only grace now. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains.
So as we go out this week, just remember that God wants us to gain the edge over our giants. So I encourage you guys to gain the edge by trusting the Lord. And by gaining the edge, we will thrive. We will definitely thrive. Again, have a safe week. And I just encourage you guys to just gain the edge. And I thank Pastor for the opportunity to speak, and it was definitely an experience for me. So I thank you guys for listening. So enjoy your week.